I'm Afshin Ratansi, and welcome back to Going Underground, broadcasting all around the world from the UAE. There is no such thing as a democracy without a free press, and as we have exposed time and time again on Going Underground, there is no free press in NATO countries, despite valiant attempts by courageous journalists to expose foreign interference across vassal states of US empire. Foreign interference is not coming from official enemies like China and Russia, though. On Monday, we will expose the genocidal Israeli government's attempts to get their chosen candidate elected next Tuesday. Today, we cover the role of Britain, supplier of weapons for the Holocaust in Gaza, to subvert US democracy and elect Kamala Harris, despite some polls indicating that Trump may have already won the US election by a landslide. Joining me now from Madrid is British journalism award winner Paul Thacker, founder of the Disinformation Chronicle, with friend of the show Matt Taibbi. He's exposed leaked documents showing British advisers to Kamala Harris not only interfering with US elections, but their campaign to subvert the US Constitution and destroy the First Amendment. And the quote, "Kill Musk's Twitter pro-censorship strategy" is linked directly to the chief of staff to Julian Assange persecutor, UK Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer himself. Paul, thanks so much for coming on. We've covered on Going Underground how the UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer is an intel asset who ran a UK agency which tried to persecute Julian Assange, of course, wanted for assassination by the CIA under Mike Pompeo. Your revelations with friend of the show Taibbi, Matt Taibbi, show a two-way street. At least Britain has some power. How has Starmer's UK Labour Party been involved at trying to corrupt the elections next Tuesday in the United States?
Well, so there's a group that was started in 2017 by a guy named Morgan McSweeney. He's the sort of the brainchild behind a group called Labour Together, which is the conservative wing of Labour. And this group is called the Center for Countering Digital Hate. And what they were used first for was to sort of go after anyone who was allied with Jeremy Corbyn. Jeremy Corbyn is a leftist, part of the left part of the Labour Party.
It's not left, by the way, I have to say, Paul.
I'm sorry?
It's hardly left. But then I suppose left and right don't mean anything these days, arguably, anymore. But anyway, go on.
That's also true. So what CCDH did was they just went after anyone who basically was considered, you know, against the sort of conservative wing of Labour, you know, which is this group called Labour Together. And one of their main targets was a news site called The Canary, which is a leftist news site that was pretty much allied with Jeremy Corbyn. And the way they attacked them was by lobbying constant claims of anti-Semitism against The Canary, many of which were found, none of them were found to be true later when they were looked at. But what this did is it scared away advertisers and it essentially tanked the website. So they had to lay off the vast majority of their staff. It shut them up. And, you know, and then we know what happened.
We've had the editor and founder of The Canary on. And in our day, all the videos were deleted by Google's YouTube. But, we covered the persecution of The Canary in its time. And, of course,
it was really amazing. When I interviewed her, she was so, at one point in time, she almost started crying because she was, you know, telling me, how terrible it was to be, you know, considered a Nazi and being constantly accused of being a Nazi. But it was a successful campaign. And so in around 2021, suddenly Center for Countering Digital Hate, they pop in the United States. Now, I'm a creature of Washington. I used to work in the Senate. I ran investigations. I lived there for 10 years. And so the first thing that struck me, I was like, who is this group, the Center for Countering Digital Hate? And who is behind them? This guy, Imran Ahmed, he's British. How is he getting the ear of the president of the United States? It was so weird. And so I wrote an investigation for them for last year for the Tablet, which is a conservative Jewish site that was very interested in all these issues about shutting down and censoring people. And what we found is that the Center for Countering Digital Hate, it's run by Imran Ahmed. In their first year in the United States, they raised almost $1.5 million out of the blue. We don't know where that money came from. But we do know that $1.1 million of it came in one big bolus from what's called a donor assistance fund, which allows you to donate money to a thing. It's called the Charles Schwab Fund. And then when it comes from the Charles Schwab Fund to another organization, you can't tell who the original donor is. So it's set up very purposely to hide who the actual donors are. So that was the vast majority of their money. What we also know is from, you know, a person that I interviewed is that you know, Ahmed has admitted that he applied to either, and the person didn't know, was it MI5 or MI6? We don't know if he got in or not, but we certainly know that he applied. He certainly seems like an asset for British intelligence. The board, the chair of the board of the Center for Countering Digital Hate is a guy named Simon Clark, who's a Democratic Party political operative. He's now on the Atlantic Council. He was at the Center for American Progress, which is a Democratic Party think tank, which helped to run Hillary Clinton's campaign. Now, in the press in about the last, I would say, 6 weeks or so, there's been several reports in the Post, Washington Post, and the Politico that Labor Together was directly advising the Hillary Clinton campaign. At that point, I realized, oh, now I get what's going on. Like, they first brought this Labor Together vehicle called the Center for Countering Digital Hate, brought it to the United States to attack all the enemies of the Democratic Party. Now, in America, we don't really have a left, so there was no one to go after there. But the people they went after were RFK Jr. and Elon Musk, the two major threats to the Democratic Party, right? And so,
sorry, you meant campaign for Kamala Harris, though.
I'm sorry?
It's easy to confuse. Instead of Hillary Clinton, Kamala Harris.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, Kamala Harris, yes. And so, and then out of the blue, I began getting contacts from people inside CCDH telling me what was going on internally, leaking documents, and that was our latest piece. And, you know, I just had a bunch of documents that I was being given, and I went through the monthly planner for the Center for Countering Digital Hate. Elon Musk sued them because he alleged that they were basically attacking him to try to shut down his advertisers, which is exactly what they had done to the Canary. It's their whole tactic is throw an accusation at you. You're an anti-Semite. You're a racist. You're anti-whatever. And then they go to advertisers and say, aha, how can you have advertising with this guy? This is the game plan they were running against Twitter to try to shut them down. Basically, like, crush them by not having any advertisers. And what we found is in their monthly planner, their annual priority was kill Musk Twitter. The second item on the agenda was advertising focus. So we see internally that...
I mean, I do want to get into the Trump lawsuit that's now emerged, but quote that you and Matt Taibbi have put into your articles showing that if Kamala Harris, Holocaust Harris, gets elected, definitely it's not good news for anyone using X anytime soon. I mean, they want to destroy... I mean, if already they have agencies that have that on their monthly planner, they're going to be part of Harris administration.
Oh, without a doubt. Elon Musk has already said... I mean, Elon Musk, if you go back to when he first bought Twitter, he was not really allied with either political party. What's happened is the media kind of pushed him in that direction, in the direction of the Republican Party, by constantly harping on him, constantly attacking him. And so now he's like, he is a direct supporter of Trump to win the presidency. So of course he's a target. And, you know, so we can see, like, you know, what they're doing is this is just, the interesting thing about it is there's nothing wrong with a political campaign like this, right? I mean, it's politics. I'm sorry, like, put on your big boy shorts and let's go to battle.
But this is
the
foreign.
The problem is the media
interference.
I'm sorry?
But this is foreign interference.
Right. So I can tell you right now, I've just gone through their tax records. About one-fifth of their money they got last year came from Britain. Two board members are actually British citizens. One is actually just elected as an MP, Kirsty McNeil, who's a brand new MP. She was on the board. So this is a Labour Party vehicle, which they use to, you know, put Keir Starmer in power. They thought, aha, this is effective. Let's bring it over to the States. Let's see how it works over there. And what makes it so interesting is, you know, normally, if you understand politics, our politicos, like, they project out, right? So American politicos, and for a variety of reasons I've heard, is because we have the best political operatives, like, in the world, because we have campaigns happening everywhere. There's tons of money in American politics, so you can try out new strategies. So when you're an American political operative, you get, like, there's constantly a campaign you can work on. There's constant money that you have to, like, figure out how to do your polls effectively, how to do new strategies. Our political operatives, like, once a campaign is won, they go work in England, they go work in Israel, Argentina, the Middle East, Eastern Europe, whatever. It's very uncommon. And actually, in my lifetime, I'm not aware of a single incident in which a Brit came over and became an operative you know, behind the scenes in America. In my mind, it's a very singular
event. Makes me proud to be British, Paul. Here's the letter from the Trump campaign, D. Hillen Law Group Incorporated. I don't know whether it's because of your article. Complaint against the Labour Party of the United Kingdom. It names Sakir Starmer, the British Prime Minister, an intelligence asset. Complaint Ann Harris for the President for making and accepting illegal foreign national contributions. So, what exactly happens? This is a subversion of your constitution, arguably. And if it was another country doing this and not a NATO vassal state, perhaps there'd be more outcry. What does this mean for Starmer, for instance, and how does the legal process work? Can they extradite Sakir Starmer, perhaps after office?
I don't think that's going to happen, but I can tell you right now, we had in our follow-up story that the Trump people are furious about this. And if Trump wins the presidency, there's multiple ways that, investigations can happen in the Center for Countering Digital Hate. I know right now the guy running it, Imran Ahmed, who was a Politico, worked for several members of the British Parliament. He's terrified. He's terrified that Trump's going to win. He sees himself as someone who's very much allied with the Democratic Party. And just to give you a sense of that, they held a private meeting this last summer and they had something like 100 attendees, Center for Counter Digital Hate, a meeting in Washington. There wasn't a single person, right, of these like 100 different people who attended, who's a Republican. It was all Democratic operatives, either members from the Hill, nonprofits aligned with the Democratic Party, State Department people like working for the, for the Biden administration. They are nothing more than a Democratic Party vehicle now. And so that's why, of course, he's got to be worried because, if Trump comes into office and then once this election's over, committees are going to be sending out subpoenas. That's what's going to happen. And we're going to see all these internal emails.
I mean, the process seems a bit long, arguably. If I, as a British, I'm a British subject. If I was working for the British government, on the payroll of the British government, and was living in Washington, D.C., trying to manipulate the U.S. Elections in favor of Kamala Harris, I mean, I think at the very least, my visa would be revoked. I'd be thrown out of the United States if I'm working for a foreign government trying to manipulate your elections, wouldn't I?
Well, it's very difficult to understand. Like, when I first wrote my first piece, I didn't understand why he was not registered as a foreign agent. My understanding, and I've got to be careful here because we've got more documents we're coming out with. I think he's actually become he's married an American now, Imran Ahmed has. And so I think he actually has his American citizenship now. It's a very weird organization. They have some people in Washington working. They have people in London that are flying back and forth all the time. It's very hard to tell what's happening. I know that last year, like I said, 20% of their money came out of England. And I think that a lot of their money is actually now coming out of Hollywood. Imran is a very smart guy. In the first piece that I wrote, he's not from a wealthy background, but he.
We'll get back to him in part two. Paul, I'll stop you there. More from the founder of the Disinformation Chronicle after this break. Welcome back to Going Underground. I'm still here with the founder of the Disinformation Chronicle, Paul Thacker. Paul, in part one, you were talking about what might happen. I should just say Imran Ahmed presumably denies all of this. The Labour Party are denying everything. They're saying you and Matt Taibbi's article involving British-UK government corruption and conspiracy to overthrow democracy in the United States isn't true. And I should also say, actually, the Charles Schwab escrow account, which was used, according to your articles, as a sort of slush fund, perhaps, for this kind of operation. It's just an escrow account. It's not set up, that type of account, to necessarily disguise MI5 and MI6 money.
Oh, no. So what we know now is that big bolus of money came out of Hollywood from an agent, a woman named Aline Kashishian. She's an agent, agent at Hollywood. Her clients include Mark Ruffalo, who you'll see on Twitter is promoting Imran Ahmed and the Center for Counter Digital Hate. I also found out that they got a big bunch of money from the singer Selena Gomez, also donated money. Her agent is also on the board. I didn't know his name exactly. I figured out who he was. And then I just heard recently that Sacha Baron Cohen also gave him some money in his first year. And he brags in the office about having dinner with the comedian Amy Schumer. So there's a lot of money coming out of Hollywood.
It's odd. I should just say that Mark Ruffalo is a pro-Palestine activist as well, whereas Sacha Baron Cohen is a Zionist agent. So it's interesting how these bedfellows work.
I'm going to tell you something. It makes no sense. Also, Mark Ruffalo was a big promoter of Jeremy Corbyn. He's now working directly with Imran Ahmed, who helped to push Jeremy Corbyn out of office. So, I mean, you got to understand that, like, these
people in Hollywood... If Mark's watching, he can always come on this show. I think he follows our Twitter account. So, you know, okay. come on board. So obviously these funds are being used to manipulate the election. But it's fine in the United States if you're an American voter, American citizen. It's a good thing to be involved in the electoral process, try and influence things. It's part of democracy, a vibrant democracy. It's a different thing if Sir Keir Starmer and the British government is somehow connected to manipulating democracy in the USA.
Right, exactly. And the other main problem I see is that the media does not explain to you when they quote them, when they put, you know, Imran Ahmed on, you know, CNN, on CBS News, they describe him as this sort of disinterested guy who's going after hate, who's going after anti-Semitism, who's going after Islamophobia. He's not. He's a political operative, and his job is to support the Democratic Party, which the Keir Starmer regime sees as something that they want to have and work with in the future.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of the nature, arguably, of the American system. I mean, people worried about Trump's money coming from Miriam Adelson, obviously, and that influencing the policy of continuation of Holocaust Harris's genocide policy in Gaza. I mean, you're an expert on medical misinformation. Given the possibility being flagged up by candidate Trump of finally overthrowing the power of big pharmaceutical companies, what could similar types of groups and similar kinds of actions and hidden hands be used to derail any Trump presidency that tried to attack these powerful pharmaceutical interests that dominate not just your television advertising, but obviously dominate the world to a certain extent when it comes to the drugs we swallow?
I mean, the pharmaceutical industry, you know, when I was in the Senate, my investigations were into the pharmaceutical industry. One of the things that I passed was a law that now requires these companies, they have to report when they send money to doctors. So you can look up doctors now and see who's paying them. But I'll give you a sense of like how this disinformation machinery operates. I wrote an investigation for the British Medical Journal about problems with Pfizer's clinical trial for their COVID vaccine. It was based upon internal documents that were received from a whistleblower, secret recordings, internal documents that showed that clinical trial was kind of a mess. Story comes out. Within about a week and a half, there's fact check lacking context from one lead stories, one of the fact checkers out there. They couldn't find anything wrong with it. You know, when my editor at BMJ called me, she says, "We have this fact checker saying X, Y, and Z." I told her, I said, "I ran investigations for the United States Senate. I've sat across the table from all the smartest lawyers working for GSK, Pfizer, all the big companies. There's nothing wrong in that story, because if there was, you'd have already got a letter from the CEO or general counsel of Pfizer demanding corrections. You didn't get that letter because there's nothing wrong with it." These fact checkers don't check facts.
Yeah, but sorry to interrupt you there, Paul, but I mean, we're on Rumble, this show. We be banned, and then sometimes we're allowed. But as you know perfectly well, and what's relevant is what you just said there. You've been in the Senate, and this show goes out intermittently on YouTube. And
right.
So in a sense, their power is bigger than your Congress. You've been in the Senate, but yet Google, under Sundar Pichai, sort of CIA cut out, because Google is a CIA contractor, they can be weaponized, whoever wins the election next Tuesday. It doesn't matter. Zuckerberg, presumably your work has been censored on Meta's Facebook as well as on Google searches and YouTube videos and people asking you questions like this.
Oh, I've had, I'll just give you an example of how the censorship works. About a month ago, there was a video circulating with Kamala Harris saying something about how we're going to take something down, whatever. And it irritated me. It was like a 30-second video sweeping around. I took it, I put it up on Facebook, and I said, you know, the person who wants to become the president, the Democratic nominee for president, is in favor of censorship, right? I got a fact check out of Italy in Italian that marked what I had written on Facebook because other people had shared it, the same video, and had shared it inappropriately. Not what I had said, but they had said other things about the same video that I did, right? And it was in Italian. And I'm just like, why are Italians getting involved in what an American is saying about the American election? This entire fact check industry is out of control and needs to be shut down. And Imran Achmed is Center for Counter Digital Hate. They're right in the center of it. They actually put in their tax forms that they lead a coalition of 77 different nonprofits to deal with what they call moderation. Moderation is their code word for censorship.
You can see the desperation because all these different strategies have been have seemed to be failing, according to swing state polling. Obviously, too early to tell. But the fact that the Harris team have hired important lawyers associated with legal election lawfare, if the military-industrial complex refuses to accept a Trump victory on Tuesday, how will its control of media like social media like Facebook, legacy media? I know Jeff Bezos from Amazon has said his Washington Post won't go Harris or Trump this time around. They'll be able to run legal cases and they'll be able to propagandize with all their Facebook, Meta, what's the other one again? YouTube, Google searches.
Right.
So between November and January, nonstop misinformation and the fact checkers lying?
You know, I don't really know what the strategy is with some of these groups or why they do what they do. I went to Twitter and I came out of there. And to me, it was very obvious that Twitter was very much allied with the Democratic Party. It's why they immediately began attacking, you know, Elon Musk. I think a lot of these other companies are also, you know,
I mean, before he bought Twitter. Right, before he bought Twitter.
I'm sorry?
Before he bought Twitter.
Correct. Yeah. Right. Exactly. I mean, the reason why Elon Musk is so despised is he took away the Democratic Party's censorship toy. You know, you could see it internally. I mean, as soon as he started even pretending he was going to buy it, all these stories, this was a guy who was man of the year on the front page of Time. And then from there, once he started talking about buying Twitter, all these stories started floating up about how he was, you know, allied against transgender, white nationalism, anti-Semitism, you name it. Like, the stories are just coming left and right. It was one of the craziest media 180s I think I've ever seen in my life. And that right there kind of told me what was going on is, you know, this is something that's happening behind the scenes. We don't totally know all of it, but we definitely know that, you know, the military is involved, intelligence agencies are involved, and the Democratic Party is involved. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the whole thing's at the end. I don't need a fact checker. I'm a grown-up. I don't need anyone to tell me what to think.
Well, the kill Musk strategy obviously still going on with the foreign interference from Britain. But, you know, we've had Noam Chomsky on this show. We've had the late John Pilger on this show, Julian Assange. Ironically, all the strategies, even the ones outlined in your latest works, don't seem to be quite working. Half of Democrats, 90% of GOP, they don't trust media. And that presumably includes all this type of media.
Yeah.
Does that mean that they've actually lost it with the American people? The American people are showing themselves that they can withstand a totalitarian attempt by the DNC. There's a Gallup poll.
You know, I mean, the latest thing that happened was, you know, the Washington Post refused to come out and endorse either candidate. And 250,000 people cut off their subscriptions to the Washington Post. Because what's going on is a lot of the, you know, the big media outlets, and like Matt and I have talked about this, there was a huge shift over to the left where a lot of these media outlets just became mouthpieces for the Democratic Party. And people saw it, you know, people, my trust in the media is gone. You know, I mean, I know reporters at like different, you know, the big outlets, New York Times, Washington Post, who who they tell me, like, it's so crazy that, you know, they don't know really know what's going on anymore. So the trust is lost in the media, but it's for good cause because they destroyed themselves. They stopped becoming reporters. They started to become mouthpieces for the Democratic Party. People see it. They're not stupid. I think, you know, I was talking to my sister about this, who I think is like, I think kind of a good person to talk to, kind of average American, you know, lives in the suburbs of Atlanta, you know, works for a financial group doing back end stuff on them. And I asked her what she thought about what was going on with the media in America. And she said, the problem is Trump lies all the time. But even when he doesn't lie, the media says he lies. So you don't know what to believe anymore. And I think that's the problem, is the media is not trusted anymore because they make up stuff about Trump.
And then just finally, on the articles from this week, you expect any action under Trump administration, fiercer action against the British government, talking to the British ambassador, perhaps, and certainly no visas for any of these Labour MPs coming to interfere with your elections?
I don't expect that, but I do expect subpoenas to, you know, land in Imran Ahmed's, you know, inbox. I hope that, like, we're going to see all the emails of everything that was being done. You know, after our story came out, he planted a story in The Guardian and a story in The Washington Post to try to beat back our reporting. I knew he was going to do it because I know who he is. He's been planting stories in the British media forever. He's now doing it in America. It's going to come to an end because people now know who he is. He actually had to turn off the replies on his X account because anytime he tweeted anything, there'd be like 100 replies of people telling him to get out of America, go back to England and stop interfering in our elections.
Well, he says he's just countering digital hate. Paul Thacker, thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me, Afshin.
That's it for the show. Our continued condolences to those surviving the UK-US-EU armed Holocaust here in this region. We'll be back on Monday, eve of the US presidential election, to explore Israel's role in anointing the successor to Genocide Joe, with author and Emmy-nominated filmmaker James Bamford. Until then, keep in touch via all our social media, if it's not censored, in your country, and head to our channel, Going Underground TV on Rumble.com, to watch new and old episodes of Going Underground. See you Monday.